I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We're Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast.
Hi, everybody. Today, it is with great pleasure, huge delight, that we have Mac Lake with us, who is the creator and architect of the Leadership Pipeline 5-part framework. Welcome, Mac.
So nice to be with you today, Pastor Phil.
Well, as we were just saying, so many of our friends have met you, but you and I have actually never physically, personally met. This is our first time.
That's right. And I know so many of your good friends, and they're being selfish and they're keeping you to themselves. And so finally, we get a chance to meet and hang out a little bit.
Well, I only hear incredible things about what you're doing with your leadership development programs. And I know you've done a bit of work with Atlanta, C3 Atlanta, and Powerhouse Church in Australia.
Yes. Yeah, I got to go over in 2019 and spend time, spend a whole week with Pastor John and his team. And oh my goodness, just had such a great experience there. And then Pastor Jeff and Sonny there in Atlanta. I love that team. I think I'm heading out there in a couple months and meet with them again here soon. And just have some great churches in the C3 movement that I've gotten to know.
Well, we're delighted to have your expertise helping us along. We need all the help we can get all the time. And we're seeing a lot of churches. We just planned another 35 churches about a week and a half ago, right around in various regions around the world. So we're looking forward to the next 12 months.
That's very exciting.
Yeah. You started a church, the Carolina Forest Community Church in Myrtle Beach in 2004. How did you start that?
Yeah, so I was an associate pastor in Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Thought I would be there my whole life. And I was in a small group. I was leading a small group. And during our social time, somebody said something about this new area called Carolina Forest. And it really caught my attention. So I told my wife, I said, let's drive up there. It's about a 40-minute drive. Let's go up there. And I just want to see this. It sounds fascinating. We drive up there, and Pastor Phil, there's this giant sign that says Carolina Forest. It's 30,000 acres of pine trees. There's a brand new elementary school and 50 homes. That was it. There was no other homes within 5 miles either other direction. And I've never wanted to plant a church, but God grabbed my heart in that moment and said, I want you to plant a church here. So I fought it. I resisted it. Long story short, several months later, I'm just miserable. I'm going, God, do you want me to do this or not? You know?
Right.
And keep in mind, this is going to be a brand new city. There's only 50 homes. It's 30,000 acres. There'll be 10,000 people one day. And I'm sitting there. I'm having my quiet time one morning. I go in the church library. I lock the door. And I said, God, I'm not coming out until I get an answer.
And wow.
I opened up my Bible to where I left off in my quiet time, and it's in Nehemiah, I think it's chapter 4, says the city was large and spacious, and the houses had not yet been rebuilt, and God laid it on my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the countrymen. And I dropped my Bible and I went, okay, God, you couldn't make it more clear. You know, you want me to go there, even though there's few houses and few people. And so I announced to our church and I told my pastor, he got behind me. They became our sending church, sent three of the deacons, the key leaders in the church who lived in that area, went with me to plant the church. And so we planted that actually in 1997
okay.
in Myrtle Beach. Yeah, great experience. Loved it.
Fantastic. You were there until about 2004?
Right. Yeah, I was there. Thought I would be there my whole life, and was pastoring the church. Loved it. We were growing. I loved my people. I loved my leaders. And just a long story, but God, again, just surprisingly, I got a phone call from Reggie McNeil. You may have heard of Reggie or know Reggie.
Right.
And Reggie said, Mac, I want to put your name in the hat for this church doing leadership development and church planting for them. And he said, but I don't want you to leave your church if you're happy. And I said, Reggie, I'm happy. I don't need to do that. You know, I love what I'm doing. Well, that Pastor Phil, that job description, leadership development and head of church planting, wouldn't leave my heart.
Really?
And I was wrestling. And finally, I decided, okay, I need some godly counsel. So I'd been pastoring my church for 7 years. So I got the names of seven men. I wrote down the names of seven men. I scheduled appointments with them, met with each one to say, hey, all right, here's this opportunity to do leadership development in church planting or stay where I'm at. What do you think? The first six men looked at me and went, we knew you wouldn't be here forever. You're an apostolic leader. Obviously, you're going to go do this. And so the seventh man on my list was Greg Surratt at Seacoast Church in Charleston. So I sat down with Pastor Greg, and before I ever said a word about my situation, we're 5 minutes into lunch. I'd not seen Greg in 3 or 4 years, only met him once.
Right.
We're 5 minutes into the conversation, and he said, how are you doing? I said, well, I'm doing really good. He said, hey, why don't you come work for me? And I laughed at him. And so he brought it up again. He said, hey, why don't you come work for me? And I said, well, what would you want me to do? And he said, I don't know. What do you want to do? And I said, well, over the past 30 days, God's given me a job description. I don't understand. It's called Pastor of Leadership Development. His jaw hit the floor and he said, do you know what we're doing at Seacoast? We're doing this thing called multi-site.
Yes.
And we need a leadership development strategy to plant more of these multi-sites. So I ended up going there. And really cool part of the story is I went back and told my elders, and I said, I cannot resign the church. I love it here. Right. I can't resign. And so here's what I want to ask you to do. I would like to pass the baton to my associate pastor. If you confirm this calling, if God confirms this calling that I sense God is calling me to, if you confirm it, I want you to commission me to this calling. I'm not going to resign. Right. I want you to send me. And they sent me, this little church of 700 sent me to a church of 5,000 as a missionary to go be the leadership development pastor there.
Oh, that's wonderful. And working with Greg Surratt and the ARC movement would be a real life-developing experience anyway.
Life-changing for me. Watching Pastor Greg lead up close and personal, getting to see that was
right.
An education in itself. Yeah.
Fantastic. So now you've been very busy writing lots of books. The Multiplication Effect. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So over the years, past 10 years, I've had a lot of people, a lot of churches reach out and say, hey, can you help us build an intentional leadership development strategy? You know, you ask a pastor, what is your leadership development strategy? I only get two answers. First answer is, well, we don't have one. And the second answer is, ours is organic, which means they don't have one. And so I began to help churches. And I built out this framework, and I was helping churches with it. And obviously, you're limited when you're helping people, by your physical presence. And so I felt like I needed to write the book. And so sat down, 2018, I believe it was, 2019, and wrote the book. And it released in February of 2020. And it's all about that five-part framework. How do you build a leadership development culture? It helps you build the right structure, the right onboarding and training system, how to identify content to train leaders in the specific character and competencies they need, and then who should be, it's the last portion is the people, who should be reproducing themselves. Unfortunately, in churches, if they have a staff, the staff members take sole responsibility for doing leadership development. And what I tell staff members, your job isn't just to develop leaders. Your job is to develop developers. If you want to see an exponential movement of leadership development, we have to begin to decentralize the discipleship of leaders, not just the discipleship of believers, but discipleship of leaders. And if we teach our, not all of our leaders, but a portion of our leaders, how to reproduce themselves by discipling other leaders, that's a game changer. So it's teaching staff a new discipline of how to develop developers.
Brilliant.
And so that's what the book's about.
Right. And I just put out a book called Disciple, and similar idea in terms of you cannot be a disciple of Jesus, or you cannot call yourself a disciple of Jesus unless you're a disciple maker. And I think if all of us are just not living out the qualities of being a follower of Jesus, but actually creating other people to be exactly that as well, and they're doing that as well, then that multiplication effect definitely kicks in, like you're saying.
Yeah. That's what I tell church planters all the time. I ask this question: have you really made a disciple if your disciples never made a disciple? And I'm afraid we have a bunch of half-baked disciples running around because we're so over-dependent on the Sunday morning sermon to disciple people that we have actually disabled believers to, we don't equip them to reproduce themselves. They don't know how to disciple others. So are they really a disciple if they're not making other disciples?
I would not think so. And I think the key word for multiplication or discipling other people is actually just including them in your life, including them in your home and your meals, and being included in their life, their celebrations, their sorrows, and walking with them. And I think if you're just doing life together, more than just teaching them how to do stuff, they actually see it modeled.
May 2024, we are gathering in Singapore for the Outpouring, our C3 Church Global Conference. I personally want to invite you to join with us in Singapore. We hear the sound of an enormous outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the next season for the church around the world. And you and I will be part of it, pouring our lives out on the altar together in Singapore. Every C3 church around the world will receive fresh fire and be renewed with fresh oil for a new day of increase across the whole earth. Young men and women from around the world being touched by God are seeing visions and declaring the future. This conference is open to the whole C3 family. Bring your pastors, leaders, board members, youth leaders, worship leaders, creative teams, business people, and influencers. This will be a historic breakthrough event. It's time for revival. Head to c3churchglobal.com to register.
Multiplication or discipling other people is actually just including them in your life, including them in your home and your meals, and being included in their life, their celebrations, their sorrows, and walking with them. And I think if you're just doing life together, more than just teaching them how to do stuff, they actually see it modeled. Like you said, you saw Greg Surratt up close and personal.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's exactly what Jesus did with his 12. You know, when he began his public ministry in the fall of 26 AD, he literally was in his public ministry for 1 year before he invited Peter, James, Andrew, and John into a discipleship relationship. And then it was another 9 months where he interacted with them before he went up on the mountain in Luke 6 and prayed all night. So now he's 21 months into his public ministry. He prays on the mountain all night. He comes down from the mountain, and Luke says he calls all his disciples to himself, and from among them he chose 12. And what's fascinating, if you look at the next 6 months, from Luke 6 to Luke 9, In Luke 6, he selected his 12 apostles. In Luke 9, he gave them authority and power.
Man.
He did not give them authority and power when he selected them. He right. gave them authority and power 6 months later. So what did he do during those 6 months? During those 6 months, it was intense training. That's when he gave the Sermon on the Mount. That's when he gave the Kingdom of God parables to give them seven visual images of the Kingdom of God so that as they went out and preached, they would know what to say. It was in those 6 months, he did a tour through the 240 villages of Galilee preaching the gospel, because in Luke 9, he set them to go do what he just did. It's in those 6 months that he takes them over into the region of the Decapolis, where he frees the man from 1,000 demons so that they could literally just crossed over the Sea of Galilee, deliver this man from 1,000 demons and cross back over so they could see the power of God displayed in one of the most wicked areas and most wicked man yeah. they would ever meet.
Yeah.
Now that they're convinced of the power of God.
Right.
And then get this, the Pharisees are opposing him during the 6 months.
Right.
He's using their questions, their opposition to give his disciples a theological education. And then he caps it off by saying, hey guys, let's go home. I want to go to Nazareth. Let's go to my hometown.
Right.
And they reject him. That was graduation day.
Yes.
It's okay, guys, the people who know me best
right.
are saying I'm not who I say I'm. What do you say?
Amazing.
And that's what happened in those 6 months. And then right. he said, all right, you're ready. You go preach the gospel.
Perfect. Yeah. No, I think that exactly the step-by-step inclusion with people and then imparting power to them and training them all at the same time. I think that's a really most effective way of developing leaders, apart from the idea where in the past, maybe go sit in a classroom for 3 years, we teach you all about leadership and then expect them to go and do it. I think doing and training all at the same time, so that you're getting feedback, you're getting context for all the training is such a better way to train leaders.
Yeah. Yeah. That practice is essential. I joke and say when I finally said, okay, God, I'll plant the church. I went to a church plant boot camp. It was 2 days. I sat in the front row because I was scared to death. I was like, I got to learn how to do this. And there was I'm sure he was a great guy, but some guy stood up there and lectured for 8 hours, 2 days in a row. And I'm sure he went home and said, honey, I just trained 25 church planters, but I went home and said, honey, I still don't know how to plant a church.
Exactly.
And I got a notebook with 273 fill in the blanks, but that's when it hit me that dumping information does not produce transformation.
Right.
I needed somebody to walk with me, just like what you're saying. I needed somebody to watch. I need somebody to give me feedback. I needed somebody to say, Mac, you try. Okay. Hey, you messed up. That's okay. You know, I needed somebody like that.
Yeah.
And that what that does, it changes the trajectory of our development.
Totally.
Most churches are waiting for leaders to be ready.
Right.
They're looking for readiness, not for willingness.
Right.
And so when we're looking for readiness, not willingness, we end up doing leadership placement, not leadership development. And so we're sitting there waiting, hoping that somebody will be ready soon. And we look at the people in our church and we go, well, they're not ready. And we just go, well, nobody here is really ready to lead. So I guess we don't have it. Let's start discipling them.
Exactly.
We have to start looking. Yeah. We got to stop looking at people for what they are today and look at them, what they could be 12 months from now if we develop them, if we discipled them.
Exactly. I mean, there's a pastor once who was saying, like we were saying, it's time to take a building fund offering. You need to get a building. You got to get those people supporting their whole vision of a building. But he said, oh, I don't got ready for that. And the answer is, well, isn't that your job to make them ready and to actually teach people into the culture of doing that? And I think we build the plane while we're flying. We actually get ourselves moving, and we might make a few mistakes, but often they're the best things that can happen to us because redemption makes them better afterwards than they were ever going to be originally. So
whole process of just getting going. Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples, go preach the gospel. And as we go and get ourselves making decisions and doing things, we'll get wisdom, power, resources. Everything starts coming to us.
Yes, yes, for sure.
So you've now got a book. You've got a few other books here, Leading Others, and then Leading Leaders, and then Leading a Department. These are all incredible books for church life.
Yeah. So what those are is in our process, we teach something called the leadership pipeline. Most churches would have a 5-level leadership pipeline. Basically, it starts at the bottom with most people in your church. This is where you're leading yourselves. These are like your team members, your participants. The next level of the leadership pipeline is leading others. That's your small group leaders, your team leaders, your guest service leader. The next level is leading leaders. And those, for example, might be a small group coach or a nursery coordinator or something like that. The next level is leading a department. That's your student director, children's director, worship director. And then the final level is the lead the organization. That's your executive pastor, your senior pastor. So what it is, it's a discipleship pathway where people can move to progressive levels of leadership. And as they move up each level, you're increasing their scope of spiritual responsibility. And so this becomes a powerful tool to begin to empower volunteer leaders in your churches at higher levels so that some you know, godly, sold-out man or woman doesn't just have to pass out bulletins, but can actually lead leaders in your church or lead a whole department as a volunteer in your church. And so what the book series does, and eventually there will be 5 books in this series, it's discipleship material for leaders. And I tell pastors and leaders all the time, take 3 copies, one for you, one for 2 people, and you walk them, you disciple them through this content. It's short chapters, a lot of questions. It teaches a competency and a character trait. So for example, when you're learning the competency of navigating conflict, you're going to learn the character trait of patience, because patience supercharges the competency of navigating conflict. So
right.
Every chapter is paired with competency and character. And I use it, and I'll have a couple guys, we'll sit down, we'll go chapter by chapter and meet about every 2 weeks. Like you said, integrate them into my life. So I'm texting them all the time, go to their kids' ball games or have them over for dinner, things like that. And it's really discipling somebody, but it's not just discipling them to live like Jesus, it's discipling them to lead like Jesus. And I just didn't see any material that there's tons of material to help people live like Jesus. This material is designed to disciple them to lead like Jesus. And so putting this entire series together so churches can have training content for every level of the leadership pipeline.
Yeah, like when you say every level, I mean, you really are talking about every level, because I see here you got volunteer training cards, like a roadmap to help people with car parking, greeting at the door, all of these things. So talk about those training cards.
Yeah, that's for the team member level. And I love these, because at your team member level, if somebody says, I'll be a greeter, I'll work in the nursery, I'll help with the soundboard, you don't want to give them such extensive training, it's overwhelming to them. And so what I did is I created a card. It's literally a card, 2-sided card. And at the top, it'll have the name of the position, like parking team, usher team, greeting team, cafe team. Then it says, here are the 3 wins for this position.
Right.
Here's the win, the 1 win statement for the position, and then 3 behaviors that help us accomplish that win. So if I had a new greeter, I would match them with one of my best greeters. Now, that best greeter gets the little packet that tells them how to mentor somebody.
Right.
And they get the card. And so if I was training you, Pastor Phil, to be a new greeter, I would say, hey, this is the win for our position. Here's the 3 behaviors. Watch me do these things during the service. when the service is over with, we're going to flip the card over and there's three questions I'm going to ask you. What'd you see me do well? What would you do different? What questions do you have? And we're going to do that for 2 weeks. You're going to watch me. I'm going to watch you. And if you feel confident to step in and be a greeter at that point, that was the training. We just try to keep it real simple. It's a one-time download, so you can download it, use it as much as you want, print as many as you want, give it out digitally, but you buy it one time digitally, and it's yours for life. And so it's just a great little mentoring system for 19 different positions in the church.
Brilliant.
And there's a blank one that you can create your own. If there are positions we didn't cover, then you can create your own. You can put your logo on it, all that sort of thing.
Brilliant, Mac. Look, I know we've got just like 30 seconds left of your time, so I really appreciate you giving us your time and sharing your wisdom and your experience with us. Where can people go to access more material from you? Just quickly.
Yeah, multiplygroup.org, multiplygroup.org. And Pastor Phil, for your audience, if they use capital FOM, Friends of Mac,
okay,
all caps, FOM 110, they'll get a 10% discount,
okay,
on those resources.
That sounds fantastic. Well, thanks, Mac, again for being with us. And I'm looking forward to actually physically meeting up someday pretty soon. Amen.
Me too. Me too.
God bless. See you later.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.